You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hi, this is Wendy Briggs, and you are watching the Best Practices Show.
Guys, thanks for watching the Best Practice Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're growing your dental practice, one of the things you're probably struggling with is how to truly grow it. And so today we're going to be talking about the five ways you can double your production with Wendy Briggs. And you're going to see she's brilliant with these components. You do not want to miss this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You're going to love this. Now, a couple show notes. We are shooting this live on Facebook like we always do. And so if you have questions and you're watching the live feed, add them to the feed, and I'll ask Wendy directly while we have her on the show, and we'll get the answer straight from the master herself. And then if you're watching them later on and you still have questions, continue to add them to the feed, and you'll see we'll do our best to get back to you and give you an answer, because we want you guys to get the most out of this while you're watching this. Also, I'm also getting a lot of feedback when doctors share these with their teams. You get even more, because a lot of times you as a dentist, you might be watching this and you're learning, but one of the challenges you have to, you know, you've got to take care of is we got to learn together. So great way to do that is just share them with your team. Now, keep sending us suggestions for shows. And even this week, we've got some great ones lined up. Right now, up over 39,000 followers on Facebook, and over 150,000 of you have visited us on iTunes. And we're just crazy, crazy grateful and just having fun doing this. Now, my guest today, you know, as all the guests are, they're always a big part of this, and there's nothing brilliant about this show other than the guests. So, Wendy, I'm always grateful having you on. You've got a great way of thinking about what happens in a dental practice, and we're going to go into all of these, the five ways you can double your production. But I always want people to know, like, who they're listening to, and you've been an influencer, speaker for a long time in dentistry. If somebody's watching this and they don't know who Wendy Briggs is, give them a little background on who you are.
You bet. Well, thanks so much for having me today. My story begins, you know, years ago when I graduated from hygiene school. I had my first child, my daughter, while I was in hygiene school, and my second child joined our family shortly thereafter. So here I was, a new clinician, and I was trying to support my growing family and put my husband through school. And I found that there were a lot of people in our industry and our profession telling us what we should be doing on hygiene. Right? Hygiene should be producing 30% of practice revenue. Hygiene should be using between, you know, 20 and 30% in the perio codes. But what I really needed as a new clinician was to know how to do those things, right? How to change what I was doing day to day in the treatment room, how to connect with patients at a higher level, especially given some of the challenges that I was facing, you know, insurance interference, if you will, in between, you know, what I felt like my patient really needed and what their benefits would cover. You know, patients that come through the door and the first thing they say is, hey, Wendy, just so you know, I don't want anything if it's not covered. You know, some of those challenges, I didn't have a way to overcome those challenges. So what I had to do was I had to look outside my four walls in my practice and figure out what the other outliers were doing. You know, what were the true truly successful professionals doing differently than the masses? And how could I replicate that? And how could I build on that? Because I found that I was very passionate about a couple things. First was that for me, production was never the goal. You know, I view production as instead the result that comes when we do the right thing for the patient. So for me, I didn't want to be guided by or motivated by the production. Instead, what I realized was when we take the best possible care of our patient, the production will naturally follow that. So when we say, okay, 5 steps to double your production, what does that really mean? You know, it really means how can we serve patients at a higher level? And ultimately, when the patient gets what they want, we have found that so does the practice. The dental professional wins, the patient wins, the practice wins. And that's where we find what we call the sweet spot. And that's where we want to live, you know, finding strategies that work for everyone that can ultimately help the practice owner, the business owner grow. So that's kind of my story. And over the last few years, as you mentioned, you know, I've had the distinct pleasure and honor of working with the best and the brightest minds in our profession. We have very small practices that we work with. We work with, you know, our smallest has 2 treatment rooms downtown Manhattan, and the largest entity we're currently working with has more than 900 locations. You know, wow. So it's really remarkable. We work with practices in the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, and it's been a great ride. I've learned so much along the way, so I'm excited to share some of that with your audience today.
Yeah, and we're just excited to have you on, as always. So now I want to talk about why this topic is so important, because as you've already stated, like, it's the byproduct of getting all these things right. But typically a younger dentist, and you've seen it, sometimes they equate doubling your production with working harder and faster. But that's not what we're talking about today, right?
No, not at all. In fact, when it comes to hygiene, there's a few different philosophies out there. I would say one that's becoming more common is that to increase hygiene revenue, you need to see more patients. Now, obviously, dentistry is a business of flow. We get that. But what people are doing with that is they're shortening the appointments down on the hygiene side, and they're thinking that that's how they're going to compete. They're going to raise revenue by shortening the appointments and seeing more patients, having more patient encounters. And in our experience, you know, instead, we find a much better strategy is to maximize opportunity when the patient's there. So production per encounter, in my mind, is really the way that most practices grow more effectively and successfully, because you can certainly shorten the appointments down, but over time that causes our patient retention to take a direct hit. And we know, you know, one of the things that we've learned is that patient retention directly tracks with the profitability of the practice. So that's a big, big area. So that's one of the things that again, I would caution the listeners against, you know, making sure that your strategy is sound and you know what you want the end result to be. That's why we focus instead on, you know, production per encounter, which ultimately means serving patients better while they're there.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we all know there's plenty of dentistry to do on patients. You know, like, exactly. people aren't coming in perfectly healthy with nothing going on. You know, it's just one of those things that happens in practice. Now, we're going to go through the strategy, and there's 5 ways. And I love how you've thought through all these. So take us through. Where do I start if I'm a young dentist watching this and I want to double my production?
Yeah, so the fastest way to impact practice growth is to optimize production, right? So we teach optimizing hygiene and restorative. And interestingly enough, when you look at optimizing production on both of those, it really is about same-day dentistry and the care you provide today. And you mentioned before that there's plenty of dentistry to do. And too often when we look at what's happening in practices, you know, we find a need and we talk about treating it, but too often we're having the patient return another day for that care. So when we talk about optimizing production, we're really looking at creative ways that we can enhance patient care today. So on the hygiene side, we look at, you know, 10 to 12 different preventative services that can be provided on the hygiene side. And we're trying to figure out systems that enable us to provide that care today. So things like fluoride varnish, sealants, desensitizing agents, bonded desensitizing agents. We're talking about, you know, whitening services, oral cancer screenings, all things that are valuable services that patients desperately need, mm-hmm. that we may or may not be providing consistently. And we may or may not have systems in place to do that today. You know, when we look at a sealant, for example, you know, this is a very common procedure. I think this procedure is staging a powerful comeback. You know, we have really great dentists that maybe haven't advocated or recommended a sealant in years. And in a way, that's in my mind, it really does require a new way of thinking because sealant materials have dramatically improved. They now release fluoride. They're partially filled. We just don't see failures like we used to with sealant. So when we look to the science, the latest science, for example, we're seeing a lot of reasons, compelling reasons why sealants today are a viable procedure and should be afforded, not just to kids and not just on permanent molars when they're covered by insurance, right? Especially if we're dealing with a high-risk patient, a drug-induced dry mouth patient even could benefit from some of these protective factors. So, you know, just like everything else in dentistry, our way of thinking evolves as the products and materials improve and evolve and as the science supports revisiting. So that's just an example of a procedure that could be offered today that in many practices, it's just not. You know, if we recommend a sealant, we often are having the patient return another day for that care. And sealants are one of the most common canceled or failed appointments in dentistry. So again, a new way of thinking.
It is a new way of thinking. And I also want you to go back to same day dentistry because many people have seen this trend happen. And when it first, you know, when it first became more of a topic of conversation, people were like, no, like, how could you even do that? You know, you got to slow it down because we do a comprehensive exam, then we have them back. Now, what I want you to do is speak just from your perspective is because same day dentistry is an incredible opportunity. Many practices are realizing that patients don't want to come back for another visit here and there. So it's not about like, you know, hurrying the patient or like putting pressure on them to do the crown. That's not same day dentistry at all. Can you share with us a little definition on that just to kind of relieve anyone's tension when they hear that word?
Yeah. So we've used same day dentistry in a couple different ways. So what I was just talking about was same day dentistry opportunities on the hygiene side, right? So there's same day opportunities on the preventative care side. And that's what I was just talking about. When we talk about same day dentistry on the restorative side, we define same day dentistry as any dentistry that's done as a matter of principle throughout the day that isn't on the schedule when the day begins. So this may be simple restorative procedures. This may be more complex restorative procedures. It just depends on the systems that you have in place. And as you mentioned, we kind of get in our own way with this principle because we make assumptions. We assume that patients aren't going to want to have that done today. They're going to want to adjust their schedule, get their finances in order. But when we look at changes in our society, we recognize that to today's patient, convenience matters. In fact, you know, it's just part of our society. They actually look for dentists that are convenient. It's one of the top things they're looking for. And so when we look at, as you mentioned, there's often a lot of dentistry that needs to be done. In many practices, if we look at the unscheduled treatment, so let's say we run an unscheduled treatment plans report, we find hundreds of thousands, sometimes even in the millions of dollars of dentistry that we've talked about that the patients haven't completed. So what we work with practices on doing is establishing a systematic process by which they have capacity to take care of some of these needs today and by which we're giving patients the opportunity. So we're saying, if possible, would you like to get started on this today? And dentists are often stunned at how many patients, when given that opportunity, say, yes, I would. So it's a shift in how we think about dentistry. Certainly, if we have a three-op practice, there's not going to be as much opportunity for same day. So there are certain elements that need to be in place. Doctors, we certainly don't recommend you go to your teams and say, hey, from now on, we're going to offer to do all the dentistry today. You know, that will not go over well at all. So we need to have systems in place and have a process by which we understand when it's possible to provide same day care and when it's not. And so that's part of optimizing production is really focusing on how we can do more dentistry same day. What are the pieces that are missing to enable this to be possible? We find that some practices are capacity blocked. They're usually capacity blocked with team members, with treatment rooms, and sometimes they're capacity blocked with doctor. You know, they're at a doctor and they need more doctor time to be able to do same day dentistry. So whatever those capacity blockages are, when we're trying to help practices optimize production, we are able to identify, number one, where they're blocked, and number two, what are the most efficient and effective ways to overcome those blockages to enable us to do more same day.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that. So thank you. And then also too, you know, when it comes to optimizing, you know, production, is there anything else we should know? Any nuances that are important before we move on to the next one? Any additional things that you would recommend?
Well, certainly. I mean, like I said, knowing what we can offer today and making sure we have a systematic process in place for that. I think sometimes we do think same day dentistry is all about the doctor. And sometimes we might be thinking same day dentistry is all about CAD/CAM. And it's not necessarily, you know, we find a lot of doctors, the doctors who do this really well, can often find 30 to 50% of their total practice revenue from same day dentistry. Mm-hmm. So it can be a tremendous driver for growth and success in a practice. So I think maybe opening your mind to a new way of thinking is really key when it comes to same day. And then, of course, making sure we have systems in place, because we certainly don't want to shove more things into the schedule at the expense of patient experience. So it doesn't make sense to have more same-day treatment but see a reduction in patient experience, because that ultimately isn't going to give us the result we want at the end of the day either. So, you know, a couple quick things on same day, making sure you have the systems in place and that that the entire team understands why it's important, and then also how to do it more consistently. So other things that we find that are very helpful, incentives to the team. You know, there's a lot of little things that can help determine the success in this strategy.
I love it. I love it. Now, what's number two? What's the second way we can double our production in practice?
Well, I kind of hinted to it earlier, and that is world-class systems. So systems really do set the elite apart from the masses. Practices that do things well typically have a very clearly defined systematic process for doing those things well. And one of the things that we find is even in very capable, high-functioning practices, there's almost always a need to refine our systems and make those better. For example, many practices that we work with don't have any systems in place for onboarding and hiring and training new employees. Mm-hmm. This is a tremendously important place to have a good system. And so that's just an example of one area that we find systems are lacking. Even it's stunning to find, you know, when we go to a tray setup, for example, how do we set the doctor up for a simple restorative procedure or a crown prep? We find that in many practices, the training mechanism for that is just one team member showing another team member how we want to do it. But we find that to truly excel and succeed, we need to have a written process for those systems that are very critical and important to have a consistent experience. You know, when we think of pilots, right? Pilots always have a checklist. And we find a great system in a dental practice does often include a checklist, a flow chart, and then certainly any scripts or verbal skills that we want replicated are also an important component for the system. So systems matter, and we find that practices that do things exceptionally well often have really great systems.
Absolutely. And so systems are important to not only double your production, but they reduce costs too. You watch a great business that has systems in place. That's why Starbucks can afford to pay full-time, you know, wages and benefits for part-time employment, because their systems are so airtight. It creates a consistent experience. It's really, honestly, it's the only way to scale any business. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so often we find that the systems are too dependent in a dental practice, especially on one or two key top performers. And in reality, then we find a situation that we like to call it your best is your worst, where your best employee really becomes your blockage to your growth. And so that's how you get around that, is you have a systematic process for training and onboarding and hiring new people so that you can scale. And you don't have just one person that knows how to help the doctor with that procedure. You know, we've got to make sure we move beyond that way of thinking. And we certainly want highly talented, capable individuals, but we don't want those individuals holding the rest of the team back.
Yeah. And I've heard you speak so many times. Like, I think were you the one that taught us 3, 3, and 3, like when you onboard an employee, can you just speak to, I love when you share that. I'm like, oh, that's genius. So you have a system for onboarding all team members. Can you do your 3, 3, and 3 thing just real quickly?
Yeah, that's an example of what's such a critical element. And we find so many practices are missing this important element. You know, we all groan when it's time to hire somebody new, and we groan because we really don't have a sophisticated way of facilitating their process. And we feel like any new hire should be a highly functional employee after 90 days. And the way you get to that is we have a 3-3-3 process that we coach our doctors through. You know, we have a framework that we give them, but then ultimately they need to make it their own. And what that is it's a checklist where the new employee is responsible for their own development. And we give them a list of things that we want them to be capable of doing after 3 days. And then they graduate from that list to something that we want them, all of the things that they need to be capable of doing after 3 weeks. And then from that list, we go to the 3-month list. And so at any point along that way, they recognize they're the ones that are responsible for checking things off that list. And we also find a really great system is to assign them a mentor within the team. And they can go to that mentor with any question. No question is considered off limits. And that mentor is also personally connected to their success. And so that's another great way that we help you know, that new hire flourish. And, you know, really they're responsible for their own development. So after 3 weeks, they've got to have that checked off after three days, 3 weeks, and 3 months. They're making considerable progress. And so really, ultimately, everybody should be functioning at the level that we feel they're capable of after that period. And then we actually even have a more in-depth system for assistants after that. So we have a tiered assistant training program, tier one, tier two, tier three. So that, you know, once they're at tier three, they should be able to assist the doctor with any procedure in the practice at a high level, you know, capable level. And they have to progress and earn those levels as they go. So again, just like any other business, onboarding and training is something that should be clearly defined. You know, too often, I'm sure you've heard this too, Kirk. Well, we'll visit a practice and they'll say, well, yeah, she's the new girl. She can't assist the doctor with that procedure because she's the new girl. And then we find out the new girl's been there for 11 months. You know, that is way too long.
So, isn't that interesting?
It's fascinating. So just like anything in the practice, you know, onboarding and hiring is something that we should have a system for. You know, and that's not the only system that we have. We have other systems. For example, those patients that find themselves in that unscheduled treatment plans report, you know, we teach a process for capturing those called a 222. You know, we have a system for contacting those patients after 2 days, after 2 weeks, after 2 months. We have a process by which they're contacted and hopefully recovered, you know, those that are on that list. So, you know, systems, the things that separate the truly elite practices from the masses, they usually have a systematic process to solve common headaches and common frustrations that other practices may find they're just complaining about consistently. We want to empower them to actually do something about those frustrations.
Amen. I love it. I love it. So what's step number three to double our production?
Yeah, really good question. So the third step really is, well, essentially it's the fourth step, right? Because optimizing production, hygiene, and restorative, that's one and two.
Okay.
World-class systems is three. The fourth step ultimately is creating leadership and team structure. And so one of the things that we find when practices grow in size, or maybe they acquire second or third locations, ultimately, too often, the doctor ends up with way too much on their shoulders. So if we don't have a great structure for leadership and teamwork, and we're not working on developing leaders within the team, then that's when sometimes practices fail. So we've seen a very effective, capable practice with one location think, hey, you know what? We got this dialed in. Let's get another location. Mm-hmm. And often they hire or they acquire a practice that's struggling. And we find they're struggling for a reason. Right? There's usually some things that need to be improved there. And without proper leadership and team structure, ultimately all of those problems end up on the doctor's plate. And so we recognize that effective organizations within dentistry have really powerful leadership and team structure. So what we help dentists do is develop those key leaders within their team and help those leaders know what is their job? You know, what is their job description? How can they lead their organization? So, for example, once a practice gets beyond six hygiene providers, we feel like there needs to be a designated hygiene team lead. And that hygiene team leader has certain things that they're doing. Same thing on the clinical side. Once we get beyond six assistants, once we get beyond, you know, six admin or business assistants at the front, we really need to have a hierarchy of leadership and structure. And then the same thing holds true once we get beyond six locations. You know, then it becomes time to develop regional leaders within the organization. So one thing that we can see is that truly capable practices, very effective practices, the one with 900 locations, for example, that's one thing they have dialed in that many dental practices don't. They have incredible leadership. And those people are very capable in their role. They know exactly what their role is. And they know how to lead rather than manage. You know,
yeah. And can you just speak about that? I love how you differentiate the two. What's the difference between leading and managing?
Yeah, you know, there's so many compelling differences, but I find that, you know, I have boys that are athletes. And, you know, there's players, coaches that, in my mind, get so much more accomplished because they're not in it for the ego. They're not in it for the title. They're in it because they love their team. Right? The same principle holds true in dentistry. There's certainly certain, you know, people that end up becoming disillusioned by the title. And they do see, you know, they may have a little bit of an ego trip, or it's about my way or the highway. And that's just not very effective in our view. You know, we want to be leaders, not managers. Nobody wants to be managed, but we find that many people do want to be led to a higher level of effectiveness. And so a very simple analogy. You know, we like to tell leaders they have two buckets, right? I learned this from Dr. John Meese, who's my partner of the Team Training Institute. I just love this analogy. They have two buckets. One bucket has gasoline in it, and one bucket has water. We want the type of leaders that when a fire erupts in the practice, they're going to use the water rather than the gasoline. That's a true leader, right? And too often, we see the opposite. We see them pouring gasoline on the fire just for the sake of, you know, well, I don't even know why anybody would ever do that, but it happens, right? So that's key, is making sure that we have the right people in place, the right systems in place, the right processes in place, so that we can encourage a culture of high performance and growth and fulfillment. You know, we like to say that we're committed to continuous improvement. That means everyone on the team has to be committed to that. And, you know, engaging the team and cultivating that behavior is a really important part of the leadership in a practice.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. Now, I did get a question from our friend L'Oreal, and she says, even with your great system, how can you basically shoot down a new employee that feels they deserve the same benefits as a tried and true tenure employee? You know, how would you communicate to that challenge?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So when we have our process, right, if they're 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, once they've hit that 3 month window, then they need to know what's next, right? Which is why we have the tiered development system. So if they're a tier one assistant and they come to you saying, I deserve a raise, or, you know, I've been here a year, or I've been here my 90 days, you know, I need more money. We can very just simply say, okay, where are you in your development? Show me where you are. Are you tier one? Are you tier two? Okay, how far away are you from tier two? Because I show that, you know, in our structure, you can progress at the rate you decide, but I see that you're not currently progressing, or you're not where you need to be to qualify as a tier two assistant yet. So therefore, that's where you need to be before you achieve those benefits. You've got to have the skills developed. So this also is very powerful when we hire somebody who's got 10 or 15 years experience somewhere else, but they don't know our systems, right? And so in many practices, they may come in, you know, with an expectation that because of their experience, they already know everything. This is a way to help them see that we really appreciate your past experiences. We know that we can learn from you, but you've got to prove that you're proficient in our systems before we actually see you get the same benefits or vacation pay or whatever it may be that the other team members are receiving.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It takes the subjectivity out of a conversation and much, you know, and in all fairness to employees, they need a clear line of sight too to how they can make more money. And that becomes often the biggest challenge is employees come to you because they feel like they're working hard, which is a legitimate argument, but they need to know, hey, look, like, okay, now I see how I can do this so that there's no conflict later on.
Exactly. I also find that there's a lot higher rate of job satisfaction when they know what our expectations are. And too often we may put them into that position and say, fill the schedule, but that's all they get, right? If they don't have clearly defined expectations, what does that actually mean? You know, what systems are there for me to follow so that I can be successful in this job? And so that's one thing that I think it really helps in that regard as well.
Yeah, and that's brilliant. And I found this, Wendy, I found this out the hard way. Great team members want accountability. They want clear expectations. Because sometimes as an employer, you're like, oh, I don't think I should push on this whole accountability. No, they want that. They're screaming for it. You know what I mean?
And that's such a big part of job satisfaction. You know, how do they know if they've done their job well and can be rewarded emotionally for that if there really aren't clearly defined expectations? You know, that's one of the things, too, that we're seeing a change in thinking. You know, it used to be that dentists didn't want to track production. They didn't want to share the numbers with their teams. But in today's world, I find that that's such an important element because the team doesn't, how else are they going to measure if we're, you know, all the hard work that we're putting in is actually effective or not, right? So that's key. One other thing before we move on from leadership and team structure is, you know, when we study dentists who are top performers, which means, you know, high producers, one thing that we found that is really necessary for them is we've got to preserve their mental energy. And there's a very real thing that happens in these top performers called decision fatigue. And when they're plagued with all of these minute, you know, inconsequential decisions all day long, it really affects their own capability to be focused in the moment and top producers. And that's such an important element. So that's one of the tremendous advantages when we look at leadership and team structure. When they understand that they have capable team leaders that are handling some of those decisions that can be delegated, it really does alleviate that from their plate, which ultimately does translate for many, many people into a higher level of productivity. You know, they can focus their energy and attention on patient care and providing service to patients, which ultimately makes the entire practice more productive.
Love it. I love it. I love it. That is spot on. Spot on. Now, when it comes to the last thing of doubling your production, what is that?
So that really is replacing the doctor's salary with profit. Okay. And again, all of these other elements stack up. You know, it's like the staircase to success. And once we have optimizing production, and then we have great systems, and then we have leadership and team structure, then we can begin to look at the doctor's end game. You know, where do they want to be? Are they wanting to grow, you know, build a bigger mousetrap and make their one location really effective and productive? And if that's the case, then that's awesome. We end up with a case like one of our longtime clients, Dr. Mitch Friedman in New Jersey. He's been working with us in one capacity or another for about 10 years. And in recent months, he had a record production month. And in that record production month, he only was physically in the office for 6 days. Mm. So here he is accomplishing incredible things while he's sitting on a beach sipping fruity drinks, which for many dentists, maybe that's the dream, right? They want to ultimately, you know, be to a place where the practice is still functioning and growing and producing, where they don't have to actually physically be in the practice all the time. Then we have other doctors who end up wanting to be what we call a legacy doctor, where they end up with multiple locations. And maybe their end game is to be able to, at one point, sell those practices, that group, for a higher multiple at some point in their career, or join with another group. You know, I would say no two doctors have the same end game, but ultimately we look at, you know, what their goals are, where do they want to be 10 years from now, and how do we make that happen in the most effective way possible? So we end up, you know, helping the doctor figure out how to shift from being the key producer to practice to ultimately replacing that salary with the profits from their business. And that becomes a really important conversation because ultimately, you know, at some point in our lives, we will need to have a transition. Yeah. And for some of us, you know, the dream may be to do it while we're still young and can travel and see the world. Other people say, I'm going to practice dentistry until the day I die. And ultimately, that's great too. But wouldn't we want to be profitable, the most profitable possible in regardless of what that scenario is at the end of our career?
Yeah, absolutely. And even young dentists know this. The only practices that are worth purchasing are the ones that are profitable. And so if you're a dentist getting ready to transition, when do you use the word multiple? So if you have multiple practices, the multiple that Wendy's talking about is the multiple and probably what's going to be called EBITDA. And that's going to be what your practice yields in profit. Or even if you have a single doctor practice, and I'm a young dentist and I've got a lot of debt, I'm looking for you to sell me a practice that's and I'm going to pay you based on a multiple of what that proposition is. So you're right. Dentists do have to think differently as they start to progress, that I'm not just going to take all the cash. I got to make this thing profitable so it's an attractive sell here in the future, right?
Exactly. And one of the things that we often find, sadly, dentists that are in their twilight years, you know, they're at the end of the career, they stop making investments in their practice. They don't invest in equipment or technology. They think they're just going to ride it out, right? Well, ultimately, that's a tactical mistake that ends up being really, really costly because, you know, when they value your practice, they don't value it based on production and collection. It actually is the profit at the end, but then often they'll subtract from the value whatever it takes to get the practice up to standard with technology. So that's one of the mistakes we see. The other mistake that we see is, you know, as they start to slow down, their production and collections, you know, the profitability threshold dwindles. And so then they're not able to get as much from the sale of their practice. So one of the things that we love to do is we love to go in and really focus on optimizing production. You know, take the doctors through these five steps. And if we can get our hands on the practice 3 to 4 years before the doctor wants to sell, ultimately they end up getting a much higher valuation of their practice at the end of the day. And sometimes it doesn't even require the doctor doing more. It's ramping up hygiene, for example, or other areas of the practice that can really, in a way, rescue the doctor's retirement. So there's a lot of different ways you can think about the last step, which is replacing the doctor's salary with profit. And just like you said, whether you're a young dentist starting out or whether you're, you know, in the twilight, the end of your career, one thing to consider is, you know, ultimately you've spent your entire life building this asset. Don't give up on it now, mm-hmm. right? There's so much more that you can do to really leverage the return you get without a whole lot more effort.
Yeah, this is so great, Wendy. I have so many other topics I want to cover with you and so many other questions. And I want to finish and summarize this one. If I'm a young dentist, Wendy, what are you seeing out there? What's the future of dentistry going to look like? I mean, you know, because some of the kids that are watching, they've got 3-4 decades in front of them. What would you say to them about the future in dentistry?
Yeah, I don't think there's a better time to practice dentistry than right here, right now. I think there's so many exciting things happening. I know there's some fears out there too. People are worried about the corporate roll-up and they're worried about insurance proliferation. They're worried about a lot of things. But man, I'll tell you what, there's also incredible technology that we have. We've got partnerships and relationships with incredible supplies and equipment. And I just think there's so much promise and opportunity in dentistry. You know, my daughter is a practicing hygienist now. Mm-hmm. And I have boys that are going into dentistry and dental school. And I know there might be some of the online forums I read, it's a lot of negativity. You know, don't go into dentistry. The golden years are over. And I couldn't disagree more. I think there's a bright future ahead for many people in dentistry. And I think there's so many ways, so many different models that dentists can embrace that can bring success. It's just a matter of them figuring out what's the best fit for them. So I say, you know, I think the best years are ahead of us.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. I love it. Now, Wendy, you've been so gracious to offer our listeners a book. You know, you've created a book and a guide for free on how to double and triple your dental practice production. Can you just talk about that real quick? We posted a link, but tell them what it is. And keep in mind, people are listening on iTunes, too. So where can we go and get that?
Fantastic. So what we'd love to do is offer anyone who's listening a copy of our book, the Ultimate Guide to Double or Triple Your Dental Practice Production. You can go and find the book on Amazon, but if you go to our webpage, www.theteamtraininginstitute.com, there's a free book offer, and you can just click that link. Now, you've been gracious enough to post the link, so obviously if they're watching, they can just click that and go. And the reason we offer that is a couple of reasons. Number one, we can't cover all 5 steps in great depth here on our interview today. And so those that want more information about any of those topics that we talked about, whether it's optimizing production or world-class systems, there's more information on each of those principles in the book. And then also they'll get to hear from Dr. John Meese as well, who's an incredible mind in dentistry, really effective, successful doctor in his own right, but also knows the corporate structure and is incredibly talented at helping dentists figure out what their vision is and how to execute on that vision. So you'll get to hear some insights from him as well. So we would encourage you to go ahead and click that link and request that book, and then you'll have, you know, more pieces to the puzzle that we provide and help guide dentists to really dramatically double their production.
It's awesome. You have to check it out. And we got to get Dr. John on here. And you guys also have a podcast. I love your podcast. You know, a lot of times I'm just exercising, riding a bike, whatever. I'll listen to you guys. It's so good. And you guys go back and forth and really give a lot of clarity to some of the questions that many people have. So I encourage you to check that out, too. And tell the listeners where they can get that podcast, Wendy.
So our podcast, you can find it on iTunes. It's the Double Your Production podcast. So again, just like we said at the very beginning, it's not about the money necessarily. It's about providing a higher level of care to the patient, and ultimately then the practice wins too. That finding that sweet spot where the patient wins, the team member wins, and the practice wins, the practice owner wins.
Amen. That's awesome. So Wendy, thank you so much. As always, we're going to have you back and just have you just share some light on some other challenging topics. Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching today. And if you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor. Just hit the share button, share with your friends. Continue to add questions to the feed like many of you already have. And keep sending us suggestions for shows that you want to see from Wendy or from other guests that we've got lined up here in the future. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.